Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Heavenland Devotions, or else known as a Little Green Pasture. I know I just did a video yesterday, but I felt so compelled to be here today because over the last week, I was given two dreams. And, you know, I get dreams here and there, and mostly I do not share them. I take them to the Lord in prayer. But after a lot of thought and somewhat some good prayer about it, I feel an open door to share these dreams. And before I get started, I want you to know that when I tell you these dreams, I'm just going to tell them, give you a little bit of some mild interpretation that I see in it. You're welcome to comment about what you think. But I'm going to just share them with you because I think you should hear it. Now, Lord Jesus, I come before you, and I am your vessel, and I am your servant. And it is my prayer today that the words that I speak and telling and sharing the dreams that you gave to me, which I am certain of, that you would put your stamp upon all the things, Lord Jesus, that you showed me. That your Holy Spirit, he would bear witness to you. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of dreams, because you're so faithful, for you reveal things to us that we could never know. And so in the Lord's name, Jesus' name, I lay it all down, and I ask that you be with my mouth and move through the words that I will speak. And where thou goest, will I go. In Jesus' name, amen. Dreams are so important to the living body of Jesus Christ. And so many people nowadays are having dreams. And I could have waited to do this, but I said, no, I'm not going to waste time. There's so little of it left these days. And I'm going to give it to you as I saw it, like I said, and give you some brief interpretations of it. And so I'll commence. In my first dream, I had it on the 16th. And in my dream, my husband Jonathan and I are driving. It's the middle of the day. We're just on a nice drive together. He pulls into a parking lot, and there's this big building that looked like a convention center. And we go in, and it is jam-packed with people. And every square inch of it is like booths where there was for sale everything. Everything that you could want was for sale in this expansive building. And it was buzzing and it was alive and there were people shopping and people coming and going and it was noisy. And my husband started to look at something at some booth. And so I thought I'd walk a little bit. And as I walked a few steps, I saw this little family, a man and a woman and a young boy, and they were walking by me. And I noticed they were Jewish. I noticed they were like the only Jews in the whole building from where we had been walking. And I could tell, obviously, because she had one of those scarves on that the women wear, which I think are beautiful. And I looked from where they were coming from, and it was their booth, and it was empty, like they were selling there, but they left it. And though the whole place was lit up and it was pure brightness in there, I'm not talking about a spiritual brightness. It was like, you know, those convention centers are bright inside of there. But their booth, it looked like a room that you had shut the light off in there. And as they were, and it was just dark in there, like a dark room. And they were walking by me and I looked at their faces and they looked discouraged. They looked exhausted. They looked defeated. They looked so sad and full of sorrow. And the woman walked closest to me, and I looked at her face, and she was angry looking, but it was from being hurt, because she was like, you know, she was upset. And I wanted to see where they were going, so I followed them a little bit. And they stopped in front of another booth, and I stood at a short distance. And they stood in front of this booth, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, what is that? And it was definitely completely spiritual, because in that booth, I saw a waterfall and this river, and it was a land. And they stepped over this little strip to get into that booth, and then they turned around and faced out, and they just stood there looking out. And like they were waiting. They were just waiting. The scene changes, and somebody is bringing me to a big house. And I'm not knowing, why am I going into this house? So I go into this house. I'm being led into this house. And it's a white house. And in the inside was this enormous living room. And everything was white in it. Then I saw all these workers, and they were going back and forth. And I knew that in my dream, each one of those workers, they were dressed in white. I think I might have just said that. But they were on a beam. Like each one of them I knew were given a purpose. Each one fulfilling his purpose with absolute excellence. And they were each one focused, so focused on what they were doing. And it was running smoothly. And it had the feeling of like something's going to happen any minute. And I'm looking around, and I thought, this feels like a wedding is going to happen. And I didn't know that. I just said it felt like it. And just then one of those workers comes to me and says, and he's holding this big vase of flowers, and he says, where do you want me to put these flowers? And I said, because I'm thinking, what does that have to do with me? Like, you know, I didn't really know, but I wanted to be helpful. And I looked around and I said, oh, put it over there. I said, it'll look good over there. And I knew that the moment that I said, put it over there, somehow I was involved now. I was in it. Another person came to me and said, you're wanted outside. So I go outside and I see a big truck with a flatbed trailer and this huge Christmas tree on it, which was kind of puzzling, like, why this? You know, like, okay. And there was a man there, and he was kind of annoyed because he was alone and he was going to have to be the one. I don't know what this means or why he was upset. I think he was upset because he knew he would have to be the one to carry this huge tree in there. And I said, you know what? He goes, where do you want this? I go, wait a minute. And it was marred. There was like a chunk taken out of it because it was laying on its side and there was a chunk taken out of it. And I said, no, not this one. It's ruined. I said, go get the other one and come back. And he came back. It's like instantly he came back and there was this bigger tree, and both trees were a little bit modestly decorated. Nothing to write home about. And he said, where do you want me to put it? And I was like, okay, now I got to choose where that will go. So he followed me in the house, and there was this big bare open wall. And I said, put it there for everybody to see it. That all those, and I'm not really sure, but I'm going to be careful. I think I said, I'm going to be careful, but I think I said, so that the wedding guests, the guests will see it as well as those of the wedding. And I was still kind of in a sense feeling puzzled, and I woke up from the dream, and here's what I believe, my really small interpretation of it. The first part of it is my husband and I represented the common every day, the today that we're in. That convention center that was jam-packed wall to wall with every kind of commerce, every venue, every kind of booth. all transactions, all wares, represented the world. And the Jewish people who were leaving their booth and that darkness, to me, I gave that a lot of thought, and I thought, the Jews are not welcome in the world anymore. And when they went to that other booth and they were leaving it, they were leaving that. And they came to that booth, which represents the land of Israel. And they stepped over something. It was necessary to say they stepped over something, because they had to step over something to get into that booth. And they stood in that strange booth of that land, and they stood near that river, and I believe that river represented God, their God. And they're standing alone in that pain, in that discouragement, in that hopelessness. It showed me that there's now pretty much Israel is standing alone, and they really are. They actually really are. But I saw also, not only were they just standing alone, but they were also waiting. And I believe that they're waiting for their Messiah. But I believe, to say one more thing about that, is I do believe we're going to see a great return of many Jews from many countries that are going to get out of their countries, and they're going to go to the land of Israel. And I believe that is happening now. I read an article recently, so that's just kind of came into my mind right now. And so I believe also too, that house and that all the workers that were going back and forth, I believe we're in the final moments, because I've been obviously married, and I know what happens right before. There's these last minute. And there was a somewhat of an intensity to these workers, but not frustrated or stressed out. Like, they knew what they were doing and they were getting it done. And so the Christmas tree, which made me feel, what I wondered about it is, you know, obviously it's a pagan thing, but what did it mean? I really thought, what did that mean? And it didn't take me too long to say, it means more than just being the month of December. It means a specific time, a very specific time. And I'm not date setting. I'm not saying anything, but there's something God is getting my attention about. It had something to do with this next month, I think. Now, the next dream goes like this. I'm out somewhere in public. It's brief. And somebody comes and gets me and says, they don't say anything to me, but they made it very clear I needed to go home. And the scene changes, and I'm, it's not this house, but yet it is our house. It was this tiny little house. We have a little bit of an ocean view. And so it very much was like this little house, except it was ground level and were two stories. And so I went through the front door and I shut the door and I knew that I wasn't alone, that person that brought me home was also in the house, but the person never said anything. And just then I felt this deep rumble in the earth. And I've been through some heavy earthquakes, of course, nothing like what we've seen in Turkey and other places like that, but in my dream. So it's different in dreams, but I'm going to tell you just exactly how it felt, that there was the deepest, deepest rumbling coming from the deepest part of this earth. And it was so deep, and it was shaking the earth. And it wasn't because tectonic plates were moving. There was something in the depth of this earth, and the whole earth, I could feel was this deep rumbling, and there was a noise coming out of the earth that I could not even describe. It was so intense and deep sounding. And so I was standing there like, what's happening? And I look out of the window and I do a double take because I saw the ocean like I normally do at home here. And the line of the ocean, which is perfectly horizontal, I saw it quickly rising like that. And I thought, what is happening out there? And I saw white water, and we're kind of a distance away. And I said, I'm going to go outside. Excuse me. So I go outside because I want to get a better look, like what is happening with the ocean? And I saw three waves. Now let me explain how it looked, and I'll do my best. So I saw this wave come right up just like that. Like it wasn't obviously natural. These are the what I saw were not natural waves. And so the one wave that came up, it was, like Cessna planes. They fly at about 1,000 feet. And this wave was about at 1,000 feet. And I was like, whoa, like I was like, what is that? Like it was more than me, like, oh, look, a wave. It's some enormous wave. It wasn't like from the earthquake either, because what I felt was not what an earthquake felt like. There was something else. And this wave that was coming up and the water that was rising in the ocean, it was something else. And so I'm thinking, what kind of wave is that tall? But there was a violence to it. And there was, I there was, there was, it was almost like it, let me just keep going. And so I thought, I better, so because I was fixated on looking at it, like, oh my gosh, right? Then I realized, you better get in the house. Then I stopped to look again. And out of that came, shot up another wave on top of it that was so high up in the atmosphere. I was like, oh my God. And it was coming so fast towards us. And then I said to myself, I don't know. I got to get out of here. I got to go into my house. But as I was about to go in the house, I looked the third time. And another wave appeared at the top of it. And it was as high. Now I'm doing the best I can. 747s fly at 30,000 feet. This wave was that high. Like it was beyond the, to say it was immense, it was super high, it was gigantic, it was enormous, would never touch it. Now let me explain about this wave, this triple wave. All I can say about it, I was trying to explain it to my husband. I said, it was God. I'm not saying the water was God, but he hides behind a cloud. He dwells in the midst of cloudy pavilions in the Bible. And I knew God was in that triple wave. And it was coming. I could feel the rate, the wrath of the enemy, that you need to be in a dream to be able to feel it. And I felt the very person of God inside those waves. And they were not really even waves. He was coming with a wrath that nothing will be able to stop. It was so beyond any kind of human scope or ability to be able to even comprehend, to be able to even tell you what it felt like or what it looked like. But that was God in that triple wave. And the way it was moving, I could feel a persona in it. And it was God. He was in that wave, in those waves. And as I saw it coming with violent speed, all of a sudden there was all these people in my court, in this little courtyard. There was like, I want to say 30, but I'm going to be conservative and say about 25 people. And they were just all sitting around. Some were standing, some were talking. They were all talking or laughing or whatever. And so I say to them the first time, I scream at the top of my lungs, full volume of my lungs, quick, get in the house. I'm telling them, get in the house. And most of them all, at first, all of them looked at me like, some of them didn't even look at me at all. But the few that did look at me mocked me. They laughed at me and they went back to talking. They were shaking their heads like, look at the fool, you know? And then I'm looking beyond them. I'm like, how are they not feeling it? How are they not seeing something that is shaking the whole earth? How are they not feeling that? And how are they not seeing that coming? So I yell again, because I knew there was no more, there's going to be not a, time was running out. And I said, quick, get in the house now. And still no one budged. They just kept talking. They just kept laughing. They just kept doing whatever it is. Now the third time I yell out, and I knew that was it. I knew that I would yell one more time. And if no one came, I was going into that house and I was going to shut the door. Because it was on top of us. And I yelled one more time as loud as I could, get in the house now. Three people, and I knew they were not saved people. Like, all those people were not saved. And I knew that the three people that looked up at me, I knew they were not saved. But the moment I said, get in the house now, they looked behind them. They saw what was coming, and they ran into the house. And there, the door shaved them, because I was already standing in the house holding the door open. And as soon as I shut it, the water covered the whole house. And there was five of us in the house. And I saw that we were saved from that. Then I said, somebody said to me, I want to open the door. And I said, don't open that door. And all of a sudden, I thought, I'm going to open the door. So I opened the door, and it was all wintry. It was full of snow. I mean, I'm living where there's no snow. We have palm trees. But I opened the door, and it was all wintry. All the pine trees were thick with snow, and the ground was full of snow. I told my husband it looked like Antarctica, but they don't have trees there. And then one part I remember from it now, I saw the sun shining behind it, and it was sparkling. And then I woke up. I don't know too much to say, because I think this dream interprets itself, but I believe there's a little bit of time left. I don't know what's going to happen in December. I don't. But I believe that when God gives two dreams and they have features in them that are the same, it's like Pharaoh's when he had two dreams. And when Joseph answered Pharaoh, after Pharaoh shared the dreams with him, he said, and I say this loosely, you could look it up yourself, it's in Genesis chapter 41, it's in two places, he says the same thing. He said, both of your dreams are one in the same, for God hath showed you what he is about to do. You know, it says in Daniel 2:22, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. And there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, which shall come to pass hereafter. And he that reveals secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for the sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. And I chose that on purpose, because if God can give Nebuchadnezzar dreams about the latter days, then we, as the people of God, have dreams too, where he's revealing things we cannot know. I believe there's a very little bit of time left. I'll leave it all with you now. And I pray that you carry it to prayer. And then you ask the Lord yourself, the revealer of secrets. He gives dreams. Let him reveal to you. The Lord go with you. Go with his spirit today and keep looking up. For the Lord draweth nigh.